Jesus' name. You can be seated. Now, let me share something with you that I learned about fear. Fear is something that you have to guard against. There is a moment in time when God delivers us from fear. But then you and I have to be on guard against fear to stay free from it. And I want to talk to you just for a few moments on staying free. Staying free. The anointing makes you free, but you're going to have to learn how to stay free. Isn't that right? Because I'll tell you the truth about it. I walk out of meetings and bold as a lion, and then some circumstance comes along. I remember I used to, and all of a sudden my old fears just all came back. I'm like, oh my goodness. And I want to tell you, I want to help you with that. And I'm going to take a few moments, so if you can either stay there or you can take a break if you want. Okay. All right. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, it says, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today.'" And so I want you to realize that when contrary circumstances showed up, the Israelites became afraid. Now listen to this. There are things that will trigger fear. Certain things that trigger fear. And I'm going to tell you this. The enemy saw you get prayed for tonight. So let me just tell you this up ahead of time. He will check you out to see if you want your fear back or if you want to stay free. And so I don't want to alarm you. I'm just telling you what's real. It's not going to just be total bliss from now on. You do have to stand. Okay? And so sometimes words are spoken. Sometimes circumstances happen. Or something happens that triggers an emotion on the inside of you. And fear wants to just grip you again. The old fear that you thought you were free from wants to come and get you again. And at that moment, you've got to know what to do. At that moment. Not later, but that moment you need to know what to do so that you can stay free. Fear has its roots in the spiritual realm. It is a spiritual thing. There is a spirit of fear, and the enemy also indirectly uses circumstances, people, things to try to create fear in people. In this case, he used the Egyptian army to create fear in the Israelites, in their mind. And so, I'm just going to tell you this. There are a lot of things you can do in the natural that will help you. But I want to tell you that you cannot totally overcome your fears by using only natural or psychological means. That's because it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. And so, fear comes to us because of what we see or what we hear. Okay? Something we see, something we hear triggers the fear. And it may manifest, that fear may manifest in the emotional realm, in our emotions and so forth, and want to just take over our emotions. Understand, though, it came from the spirit realm. You see, Satan is a master. He is a master at hiding behind people, circumstances, situations, and different things, manipulating those things to cause us to be moved in a certain direction, to become, he's trying to make us a fearful people. God is wanting us to make us full of people full of faith. But the enemy comes along. See, that's why I had to give up watching horror shows. I thought they didn't have any effect upon me until one night I got up to go get something to drink, and the rug was bunched up against me. I just was wearing a pair of cut-offs and shorts and just had, didn't have any socks on or shoes, and just my bare feet, And so the rug was bunched up, and something touched the side of my leg, and it was some kind of crazy thing, crickets coming out of the earth and blowing stuff up everywhere, And so when something touched the side of my leg, I jumped about this high. And I came down and I'm upset at myself. I'm thinking, that's no. And I turned around to go out to the kitchen. I brushed against the chair and I jumped higher. That was the last horror show I watched because I said, I don't like the results. Yeah. See, you can't afford to watch or see some or hear some things because it will trigger fear in you. So one of the things I would encourage you to do is to go back and check your diet of what you've been seeing and what you've been hearing and what consistently. Okay? You see, and one of the things that I have a guy that I know that's a 24-hour... I mean, he has to go to work, but when he's not at work or sleeping, he's watching Fox News all the time. He's a Fox News junkie. Okay? But I want to tell you something. That doesn't create strong faith. I don't care what channel of news you're watching. The daily news, I'm telling you, in order for me to stay in faith, most of the time I scan headlines. That's about it. And I use headlines for a prayer list. And start praying for the things that are mentioned there. It helps me to stay in faith that way. But you can't just watch that all day long and expect to stay free from fear. See, what you have to guard what you hear and see on a continual basis. And that will help you to lock down against fear. Now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. And I'm going to go through this very quickly. But then we'll get out of here. 2 Timothy 1 7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Yes. This verse shows us three necessary things in order for us to lock down against fear. Power, love, and a sound mind. Now, I want to look at these just for a few minutes because now, unless we look at that from a distance, let me just say this to you. All three of those items are within your reach. They're available to you. Power, love, and a sound mind. And so let's look at power real quickly here. The power of God. Now, listen to me. It's not some mystical thing that's floating around up there somewhere and a few spiritual people kind of know how to get a hold of it and reel some of it in and distribute it, when there's a prayer line. That's not how the power of God works. The power of God, listen to me, if you're a Christian, the power of God is resident within you. How do I know that? The Bible says, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He didn't come empty-handed. He came with all his power. He's in there with all of his power. You have power. Say it with me. I have power. See, you have that. The moment you got saved, the power of God came in you because the Holy Spirit made you his residence. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're a temple of whatever the Holy Spirit has, too, meaning that power's there, wisdom's there, revelation's there. All of those things that the Holy Spirit has, he has it. He didn't leave it outside in the shed somewhere. He brought it with him. It's there. You have power. And so sometimes we got to get rid of this mystical idea. I got to go somewhere where there's some special manifestation of power because I'm just Joe Ordinary. And I just, some people just have the power of God and some don't. And see, we got to get rid of that idea. Because it's not true. Now, there are certain anointings that certain ministers have, and that's fine. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the power that is inside of you because you're a Christian. Every Christian has the power of God. You have enough power to walk free from anything that the enemy wants to put on you. I remember at one point in the battle that I had against fear, I was waiting for some kind of special manifestation. And one night the Lord dealt with me about that, and he said, and this is what I heard. He said it this way, the weakest scripture in the Bible, if there is such a thing, has enough power to deliver you from fear. Amen. And I thought to myself, I think the begats would be about as weak as it gets. Yeah. But do you know the truth? There's enough power in the begats to deliver you from fear. It's absolutely the truth. The power of God is there. So let's say it together. We have the power of God. So we can tap into the power of God. Now let's look at the love of God. Remember, three things: power, love, and a sound mind. And so we know we can access power because it's inside of us. We're very close to it. Many times our mind tells us something different than what's really in our heart. Do you ever find that out? Now look at the love of God. Love is not something you earn. The love of God is not something that you work for until one day God rewarded you with it. Love is not something that you get over a process of time. Now that you're a mature Christian, you have the love of God. That's not true. The moment you get born again, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. He brings the love of God with him. You have love. Now, so that's why it's so strange when people don't walk in the love of God. Christians don't walk in the love of God. It's against their nature. Don't get quiet on me right there. But see, when people don't tap into the power of God, they think on other things that make them susceptible to fear. If they don't walk in love, that the love that's in their heart, that is easy, they're an easy prey for the fear of the enemy to come upon them. Fear from the enemy to come upon them. So love is something that you and I have. And the question is that you have to make a decision. I'm going to walk in love, because that's part of the lockdown against fear. Love is received instantaneously when we're born again. Romans 5:5 tells us that. And then 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. What does that mean? That means if you're in fear, it means that you are not fully aware of how the love of God could help you to walk free from that. People are tormented needlessly because they don't understand that God loves them, or that they could walk in love even though somebody does something against them. I recommend you walk in love. Not because the other person deserves it, but because you deserve it. I should say it this way, but because God, you can do it for yourself. You do it for yourself, let's put it that way. Okay? You need to do that for yourself to keep you free from fear. No, I'm walking in love, glory to God. I'm not afraid of what they'll do. I'm not going to let fear come in and rule where just because of what they said. No, they can threaten and huff and puff and threaten to blow my house down. But I'm going to walk in love and believe God that my house is secure. Amen? I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to go further than that. I'm going to pray for them and bless them so that they, so that God to move in their life. Amen? Say it with me. We have the love of God, so we can walk in love. Now let's look at the third one, a sound mind. That word sound mind means this, according to Strong's Concordance. It means a disciplined, self-controlled mind. Most of the problems in life are related to our mind. That doesn't mean we're a mental case. It simply means this, that every person has to deal with the thoughts in their mind. Every person, the most successful person that you see, has to deal with the thoughts in their mind. They have to guard their mind. They have to control their mind. I have a friend of mine that preached a sermon today called Get Control of Your Soul. get your, or something like that, or something like get your soul under control or something like that. But it's true. We have people today that are in dire straits because they don't guard their mind. They don't understand that is something that they do. They need to do. A sound mind is not a gift that we receive instantaneously. And just because I confess that I have a sound mind doesn't mean that I automatically have it. If I confess all I want to that I have a sound mind, but if I don't ever go and renew my mind to the Word of God, I'll never have a sound mind. That's like spitting in the wind. It doesn't go very far. That's a little country expression we used to have. All right. So a sound mind is something that you and I have to develop on a daily basis. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be renewed by the renewing or renovation of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One of the things that's perfect, that God perfectly wants for us, is to be free from fear at all times. But you're not going to get there without renewing your mind. Now, some people think that reading your Bible is what you do to renew your mind. Well, that's part of it, but certainly not near all of it. Because you see, I can know about renovating or remodeling a house, and I can even have knowledge of it, but just because I have knowledge of it doesn't mean that my kitchen's being remodeled. I've been studying a certain part of my house that we want to change. We want to renovate that. But all my thinking hasn't produced it yet. At some point, it has to go further than that. You know, I ask people about what they know about that, and I read literature about that. But at some point, I have to get beyond that, and I have to move into action. And one of the ways that you move into action with the Word of God is that you meditate. You begin to take a scripture and say, I see, I declare that God is taking care of me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I see myself. I see myself with my mind's eye. Again, standing against the enemy, standing against all the arrows that he wants to shoot at me, or all the missiles that he wants to shoot at me. But I want to tell you something, and I see myself standing there. No, my God gets between everything the enemy wants to send my way. My God takes care of me. I am not afraid. My God is with me. He's standing right here, in case you hadn't noticed. Angels are camped around about me all the time. The Word of God's flowing out of my heart and out of my mouth. Amen. And God is going before me and opening the way that no man can shut, and the enemy can't shut it either, in the name of Jesus. And he's my rear guard. The enemy can't get my back because God's already got it. Can't come in the back door. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. See, you got to learn to meditate on those things. And everywhere you go, you got to be conscious of the greater one on the inside, like Brother Hagin said. Why? You see, that all comes from renewing your mind and meditating on the Word. Being conscious of, you're never alone. I'm not alone. I don't have to fight my battles alone. What did God tell the Israelites? The Lord will fight for you. And so we have to realize that. See, a sound mind will lock down against fear when it comes to strike against your heart. It won't let it in. Nope. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It just doesn't get in. The Lord is kept around about me. Amen. He is my fortress and he's my shield. He's my strong tower, and I'm well protected. Glory to God. Say it with me. I'm renewing my mind. And I'm developing a sound mind that thinks according to the Word. Hallelujah. Amen. See, that's what's happening in your life right now. You've already got love. You've already got power. Now you're incorporating the thoughts of God from His Word into your life and getting it to into your so full inside of you that it begins to just direct your life. But that, even though you don't have, may not have a special leading from the Holy Spirit, you just act according to the Word, because that's what you put in there. Amen. And so I want you to realize that you can be free from fear. You can stay free. Say, I'm going to stay free. I said, I'm going to stay free. I mean it. I'm going to stay free. In Jesus' name. I'm going to rely on the power of God. I'm going to rely on the love of God. And I'm going to continue renewing my mind. In Jesus' name. Stand to your feet, would you please? Hallelujah. Lockdown against fear. We're not letting it in. Say it with me. We're not letting it in. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, we thank you for coming tonight. We have a prayer team that's coming to over here, and men over here and ladies over here. And they're going to pray with you. And ladies, you can come over to the ladies. And men can come to the men. And so we want to encourage you to take advantage of, if you have prayer requests or need somebody to pray with you about something in faith, keep Pastor Miss Hagen in prayer. And they're in Israel traveling and having a wonderful time. And, you know, it's great. It's of great benefit for our pastors to take. And in one sense, you could look at it as an educational. It's educational. It's also personal development for them to be in places like that. It makes them more able ministers. And so they're going to be better when they come back. Not that they were bad when they went, but you know, even better. Glory to God. Amen. And so we want to encourage you with that. Don't forget Wednesday evening, Hour of Power. Going to be right here. Going to be something good for you. And, you know, get into services. And I'm going to tell you, these things, sometimes you just have to, in the middle, and sometimes you have a bad day, or sometimes, you know, fear wants to creep in. Get in with believers and just lift your hand and say, take that, devil. I'm with my own company. If you take me, you're going to take the whole bunch. Take on the whole bunch, you know. We're standing together. Amen. So don't forget that. Connection team members, if you would find those first-time guests, and if you would take them and give them that gift that's been prepared for them for being here for the very first time, let's give our first-time guests a great big hand as they go to get those gifts that's been prepared for them. We believe that you'll have a great week, a prosperous week, a healthy week. Amen. We believe that God will bless what you set your hands to. Amen. And so we're just confident that God will see you through. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you soon.